Thank you for listening to News on the Hill. Andrew Stuckey here with you. The time is 5:27, and we are going to bring in on the phone now News Director Extraordinaire Brighton McConnell, who is in the courtroom this afternoon. Brighton, how are you doing today?
Hey there, Andy. I'm doing all right. It has been quite the day.
It has been a wild day in the newsroom. We learned that this hearing was happening. Of course, we've been talking about this all newscast, but just the quick reset. This was the second hearing for the teenager accused of murdering 14-year-old Lyric Woods and 18-year-old Devin Clark back in September. And this was really the first time that we got almost any information at all about this case. The details have been very, very brief up until this point. But what was the big takeaway, Brighton, there in the courtroom today?
Well, I want to start off just by saying, Andrew, that we got all of this evidence as a result of a bond motion from the defense. It's worth noting that the trial here hasn't started. There's not been any pleas or anything like that from the now 18-year-old Isaiah McKee Ross. This was all presented in court, and a lot of it for the first time, because Ross's defense was asking for a bond to be set on his presence in the Orange County jail. They were asking for $200,000. The prosecution then presented all of this evidence, and some of it being the first that we've kind of really heard about what happened to Lyric Woods and Devin Clark. And then after hearing that evidence, Orange County Superior Court Judge Alan Bedore decided to not allow any bond to be set. So just wanted to start there, because it was kind of interesting where after all of this time, after all of these many months of not being able to hear anything and you know, the investigators keeping the information close to their chest, we get this big dump here in a courtroom without necessarily like a definitive, you know, plea being made or anything, anyone being found guilty or anything along those lines. So this was just evidence presented today when it comes to a bond motion, but it certainly sheds a lot of new details and light on the case.
So a couple of things just to unpack there. First of all, this case started with the police had identified who they thought the suspect was, but the suspect was a minor, so we didn't hear anything about it for weeks. And in the interim, since that has all happened, that we did learn that minor's name at one point after at the first hearing. And then in the interim, that minor is no longer a minor. Isaiah Ross has turned 18 years old, which adds a little bit of confusion to people who are kind of following along with this. The other big takeaway, Ross's defense attorney wanted a $200,000 bond so that he could make bond and actually be released, and that was denied by the court. So that was kind of the point of this whole hearing. But in the process of making that argument, we, the public, learned a lot more about this case. So what details were revealed that we didn't know before?
Certainly the most outstanding details, I think, and what everybody was asking is, how were these three teenagers connected? Andy, we knew that Lyric Woods and Devin Clark had a friendship, maybe a prior relationship of some sort, but we weren't sure what the connection to Isaiah Ross was, especially since he seemed to be relatively new in the area. According to prosecutors today, they were able to get cell phone data into Lyric Woods' Snapchat account, but also then were able to get cell data and location data from the State Bureau of Investigation when it came to all three interested parties' locations in this. And we have some answers along those lines. Woods, on the early morning of Saturday, September 17th, asked Devin Clark to come pick her up from her house in Eflin, again, 14-year-old staying with her mother and stepfather. Clark then, in Mebane, asks Ross for a ride. Ross uses his mother's GMC Terrain to go pick up Clark and then to go pick up Woods. From there, the trio went to the area off of Buckhorn Road, where eventually it would appear Clark and Woods were indeed shot and killed. We also got some information about where the firearm in this case came from. It was not clearly stated that this was indeed the murder weapon, but it was mentioned by both the prosecution and defense that Clark had a firearm on him, believed to be taken from his father in Mebane. but investigators pretty clearly laid out in their argument for why Ross should stay in the Orange County Detention Center without bond. They laid out an argument and evidence that they believe Ross shot Clark and Woods as they were running away at some point at that gravel road off of Buckhorn Wood. And the details there, Andy, are pretty horrifying. It sounds like Lyric Woods was shot four times. They have twice in the back, once in the arm, once in the neck. Devin Clark was shot five times. Three of those were in his back. One was in his foot from the heel upward, and then once in the back of the head. And that was the moment when we heard those details, that the people who were in the courtroom, Andy, that were just really shaken. This was a situation where, like Ross's first appearance back in November, there were a lot of people in the courtroom who were friends, family, interested parties of Lyric Woods and Devin Clark, and hearing that those details laid out in public bare for the first time certainly shook some people who were there today.
We are speaking with News Director Brighton McConnell, who is in the courtroom this afternoon as 18-year-old as Isaiah McKee Ross was in for a hearing. He's being charged with the murder of 14-year-old Lyric Woods and 18-year-old Devin Clark back in September. So Brighton, you were in the courtroom and you just kind of alluded to this some, but paint a picture for us of what the courtroom was actually like. What was the scene? What was the atmosphere there?
Well, there's no doubt that it was solemn. There were a lot of other cases and hearings and proceedings that were going on around this. So it was really interesting to, you know, walk in and one case was being heard, and for all of these people there waiting to hear, you know, the newest information in this Woods and Clark murder case when there were all of these other matters to be taken care of. That's pretty normal in the courts, but it's not normal to have a case of this magnitude, I think, in our court system. It's been a little while since that's been the case. So it was kind of interesting in those first few minutes of people having to wait until Ross's appearance came up on the docket. And, you know, when that happened, you could just feel kind of the weight of the moment. You could feel people, and you could tell that they were processing this information. I'm still processing a lot of the information because it is just so much. It's a lot of the filling in of the details that I think for many people have had in their heads for months and starting to answer some of the questions that they've had in their heads for months. And, you know, we're far from there being any sort of closure in this, but I think for people who are most closely connected to the Woods family and the Clark family, it begins to, again, answer some of those outstanding things that we just may never still get an answer to, but now have a bit clearer of a picture of perhaps the timeline, if not necessarily the motives and what really unfolded.
Our guest is Brighton McConnell, a familiar voice as he was in the courtroom this afternoon and is filling in some of the blanks in the case of Lyric Woods and Devin Clark's murder from September. And I know that a lot of people were really, really interested in this, and this had a lot of people on edge in the community. What's next now? We got information and people are going to be processing that, but what's the next actual thing that we can anticipate happening in this case?
That's a great question, Andrew. I'm not entirely sure. It sounds like the next court hearing has been scheduled for late June, but as this one was, it could be bumped back at any point in time. I imagine, as often happens with a lot of these cases in Superior Court, it's going to be a while before we get to a point of any sort of trial or any sort of pleas, perhaps, from Ross's camp. It's really hard to tell, based on what the defense was talking about today, whether they're going to try and not, you know, plead not guilty or anything along those lines. But one of the kind of outstanding pieces of information we're still waiting on, it does all connect back to the vehicle in this case, a white GMC Terrain that is Ross's mother's vehicle, but was used the night that these three teenagers got together. The prosecutors in the case said that once they eventually tracked down that vehicle, after they had identified Ross as a suspect in the case, once they tracked down that vehicle, they were able to see blood on the outside of the car and on the inside, visible to the naked eye. And then as they did further tests on it, they did find some more examples of blood in the car, but that was perhaps cleaned off. They did say that it was not enough blood to indicate that the two people might have been shot in the car. They also said there were no casings in the car, no examples of broken glass, no bullet holes, anything like that, but blood in the vehicle. That blood, Andrew, has been swabbed and has been sent to different lab tests for DNA. That is something that they are still waiting on to get confirmation of whose blood that was on that GMC Terrain. That was another part of the hearing today, actually, was that Terrain is still in the property of the investigators, the sheriff's office, and all of those who are involved. Ross's mother was moving to try and have that vehicle returned to her custody. Instead, the judge today decided that the contents of the vehicle, you know, stuff in the glove box or other things in the car that may not be part of the crime scene or contaminated in this case, were allowed to return to her. But that GMC is going to remain in the custody of the investigators until those swabs are able to be returned from the state lab. And, you know, that might just be able to put together another pretty big piece of the puzzle of whose blood that was and, you know, whether when exactly and how exactly Derek, Devin, and Lyric were killed.
Very troubling story, but we are learning more and more about it. There's a lot to process in here, and I think folks should know that there is an article up on chapelborough.com that lays all this out. It is up there already. You do not have to wait for this. Brighton's got it up there already, and it is very detailed. I think that we covered most of the major points, but there's so much that was learned this afternoon that I strongly recommend checking out the article on chapelborough.com. Is there anything else that you would like to add to this conversation, Brighton?
At the moment, I would just say, you know, I think people are going to have to continue to be patient, which is the toughest part of all of this. But, you know, people have been patient since we learned of this from that weekend in September, where things really reached a fever pitch, where there's just so much uncertainty of where Lyric and Devin both were and whether they were together, and a lot of uncertainty. Obviously, some of that has been cleared up since then. I think the details in today's hearing are going to dredge up some of those fears, concerns, questions again. But, you know, hopefully it will provide some answers. Hopefully our coverage will be able to do that. The article that is up has a lot more details that are coming. So if folks, again, could not only be patient with us as we continue to do it, but yeah, it's a long process. As we have found out through several local tragedies over the years, it takes a very long time for us to get the full picture. And as investigators said, when they first announced that they had gotten Ross into custody and they first shared Ross's, you know, full information with us, we may never know the full true motive and timeline of events. But I do, you know, suspect that at some point we're going to continue to get even more information of this. We just don't know when that might be.
Brighton, thanks so much for being there and for jumping on the air with us this afternoon. I really appreciate it.
Of course, Andrew. Thank you.